Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Rainey Bertrand shares his testimony to the faithfulness of God in his life. And now, here's Rainey.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Can you hear me fine? Okay. First, we'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Indeed, victory in Jesus. Praise you, Lord, and give me the strength and calmness to accomplish this. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a little loud now, eh? Okay. So I'm going to start with a little poem from, I don't know if you've heard of Danny Johnson Flint. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure known to man. For out of his infinite riches in Christ Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Isn't that beautiful? So, Phil asked me to speak. I thought, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. But the Lord's been speaking to me and kind of give it a try. So I'm a little nervous. Something like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. So, here goes. So, I will probably fall short in trying to give God the glory for all he's done for me. Most of all, for saving me, a sinner. So I'm going to read part of Psalm 139. That's dear to me. Go from 1 to 16 or so. If anyone wants to turn in their Bibles, 139. O Lord, you have known me. You have searched me and known me. Sorry. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word of my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, wow. Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even though the night shall be light above me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me. That's humbling, isn't it? So, I was born in a family of two hard-working parents, loving parents, hard-working parents. My dad was a builder. Mom was a homemaker. She took very good care of us. I have three older sisters, two younger brothers. Well, my parents were Catholics. They raised us Catholic. They were hard-working, God-fearing people. And they instilled that in all of us. And we went to church as kids, but after a while, you know, how things happened, we stopped. And so growing up, there was lived in the neighborhood, lots of kids, and we hung around. We went bicycle riding, and got into all kinds of stupid stuff too, like smoking. You know, I started smoking. I was 13, and it took me, well, with the Lord's help, 37 years to get rid of that habit. So anyone who's smoked knows how tough that can be. Anyways, got into lots of other stuff too. Anyways, not about that. It's about what God has done for me. So growing up in somewhat Catholic church, kind of, I don't know, I got, maybe it's just my thinking, I just got that idea that I was good to go. You know, everything would be fine, but never considered needing anything else. Never really got to the point of needing Jesus and salvation. So, come along, met my wife, Karen, and her dad. Well, if anyone, you know him, you know how tenacious he is and how he loves the Lord. So he kept telling me that I needed salvation. And I kept fighting him on that. Because that's what we do, right? Kicking and screaming. So, Karen and I got married in 83. We had our first son in 84. Things were great. And then we had a second son in 86, Daniel. And then the daughter in 93, Tia, my grandson. That's her eldest right there. The tall one. Anyway, back to Dan. When Dan was born, well, it's been 38 years, but it's still touching. So he was born premature. Couldn't breathe on his own. So at the time, there was a storm in Ontario, so he couldn't. The doctors told us that if he stayed, he would die. He would tire out till he couldn't breathe anymore. So anyway, he was flown out of province, and we couldn't go with him. We had another young child at home and everything else. And, you know, so for the first week, we didn't know he was going to make it. So the phone would ring. It's like, don't want to answer that. So that's when I started praying for my son. And we had help from Cliff, Karen's dad. He came to visit her in the hospital. And it was a big deal, you know, that he took time from work, come to visit her, encourage her, pray with her. And I prayed at home. So that was kind of the turning point for me. I gave my heart to the Lord right around that time. But that's only the beginning. You know how the Lord in Exodus says, stiff-necked people? So, yeah. You know, stubborn, rebellious, foolish. That's me. But the Lord wouldn't give up on me. So I spent many years in rebellion. Again, after that, even though even though I was supposedly saved. So we were attending church in those days, the old BFA, and this one year when it opened. And after a while, due to my unforgiveness, my hard-heartedness, we walked away. Of course, you know that was a mistake, right? So, after that, we always rode dirt bikes as a family. So, our oldest son, Mars, he loved riding. Like anything, he was gone all day, and we used to live. We used to live at the base of a gravel pit kind of thing. The gravel pit was over the hill kind of thing. And every day, he'd come back pushing. Because he had to ride till there was no gas left. Every time he'd come back pushing. So anyway, he wanted to try racing I'll give it a shot. He had a lot of talent. Plus, he rode every day. He had so much practice. He knew what the bike was going to do. So we went racing, and the Lord protected us from that, from all the traveling. Well, last year we put 50,000 kilometers on our vehicle in 3 months. So we were on the road lots and driving home in the dark. And anyway, the point is that he kept us safe with all that. And motocross is a very demanding sport. It's a very risky sport. And the guy usually that is most fit and wants to take the most chances is the guy that usually wins. So for us, our son was that kind of guy. But the Lord kept him from getting seriously injured. And even my dad at the time says, "What if he cripples himself?" Well, I had considered that. But anyway, he kept him safe through all that. And eventually we ran out of money to do that. So it was a tough decision, especially for me to stop racing, because that had been my dream anyways. But through all that, the Lord kept us safe. And we also were his main competition was another Christian boy from up around Collingwood, I think it was, somewhere in that neighborhood. So we met some nice Christian people there, and we were talking about praying for our sons while they're on the track, and that's what we did. Anyways, we kind of got led astray anyway, mostly my fault. But as Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But a wise man is he who listens to the counsel. That was me. So again, the story of a rebellious, stubborn, hard-hearted man, you can add fool to that. The Lord's still protecting me from myself. And as in Genesis, when it's of Joseph's brother selling him into slavery, they meant that for evil. But the Lord always brings that out and turns it to good. So what happened with us is, you know, we didn't really mean that for evil, but we were disobedient nonetheless. So what happened there is that resulted in a business that my son still operates today. So how the Lord can take things, disobedience, and turn it around. Isn't that wonderful? It says in Psalm 103, verse 9 and 10, He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Isn't that wonderful? But we're finally back where we should be. Praise the Lord. So also the encouragement for the new year. So, this isn't mine, by the way, but I was listening to this and it sounded so good. I think I gotta share this. So as we look back on the year just passed, may we see God's faithfulness and celebrate with joy what God has done for all of us. May the light of Christ our Savior fill our hearts as we look ahead to the new year. Let us thank God for the greatest gift He has given us. Amen. No one's sleeping. That's good. Thank you for listening. And I hope I didn't ramble on too much. But thank you.
You know, there's nothing sweeter than a testimony. Amen. And every testimony is unique and every testimony is valuable and precious in the eyes of God. Someone has said, I don't know if it's true, but a testimony is the only thing we can take out of this world that has value. And someday we'll be in heaven and we'll be talking about our testimonies and we'll all be celebrating it. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank You for the sweetness of a testimony. We thank You for Rennie today, Lord, his story and how Your faithfulness and Your perseverance in bringing one to Yourself is endless. That we can never go away from You, Lord, that You aren't there encouraging us and bringing us back. We thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, for the story of salvation, how sweet it is and how You can take one that life is like a filthy rag and turn it into something beautiful. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank You for forgiveness of sin. We thank You, Lord, that You are reconciling us to a new life and You are sanctifying us to a place of righteousness, Jesus. And so may this new year reflect in our heart a way that we are diligent and we are courageous and we are brave to be faithful and outspoken, Lord, in our faith. Give us the courage, Lord, to be Christians that You might say one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so we just do thank You for it. We think of next year. We look forward to it. We praise You for what You're about to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.